Well, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And today I'm starting a series on ancestral sins and demons. Ancestral sins and demons. You know, the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Notice that there's an invisible realm and a visible realm. Then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice that. It's a spiritual warfare. It occurs in the visible as well as the invisible realm. And then, of course, the Word of God tells us in Hosea that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And I fear that so many of God's people today are suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, domestically, in almost every area of their life, simply because they do not have the knowledge concerning this warfare that's taking place in the invisible realm. So, thank you for joining us today, and now we're going to take you into this message, which is part one of Ancestral Sins and Demons, and may God bless you as you listen. Going into this thing, we're going to cover several scriptures very quickly, and I know that some of you can't find them that quickly, so I'm going to have Arthur put them on the board behind me. But for kickers, just starting off, I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." Now that word devils means demons, "and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." Now, here's my question to you. If it were not possible for Christians to fellowship with demons, we would not be warned in the Word of God not to fellowship with demons. Now, follow the reasoning here. If it were not possible for you to fellowship with a demon, you would not be warned in the Word of God not to fellowship with demons. So the question is, how do you, as a believer, fellowship with demons? There is a myriad of possibilities, an absolute myriad of possibilities. And what I'm going to do in this specific session is try to help you understand why you respond, react, why you have fought some of the battles that you have fought over the years and not understanding why you were fighting them. I think it's safe to say that most of us came out of the womb with some sort of bondage hanging on us. That most of us came out of the womb with some kind of bondage hanging on us, or at least the possibility of some bondage being applicable in our lives. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's come over to, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Exodus chapter 20. I said this morning, talking about this evening service, that outside of Charles Stanley's teaching, you probably won't hear this in 2 out of 10 pulpits around the nation. I think, one, pastors are afraid of it. B, they're afraid they teach it, they will offend. C, it's painful. It's not the kind of thing we really like to look at and deal with. But in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, well, let's start with verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, visiting the sins of the fathers, unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. All right. First thing we're going to talk about is the sins of the fathers. You must understand that there was never a time in all of humanity when God did not make himself known to mankind. God established himself with Adam. Adam knew, Eve knew, they fellowship with the Lord. We know they sinned. We know that when they sinned, now watch this very carefully. When Adam and Eve sinned, that seed of sin then became, we're going to call this mankind, and that seed of sin right there in itself produced a sin nature. It also produced sickness. And it also produced death. Now that's the fruit of sin. Sin produces a sin nature, produces sickness, and produces death. Everyone was born with a sin nature. Everyone is born with a sin nature. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. Nobody had to teach you to lie. Nobody had to teach you to cheat. Nobody had to teach you to steal. You picked up sinful practices and sinful habits simply by developing and becoming what you are. Now, question, how does all of that occur? But to make my point firstly, the sins of the fathers, we're going to bring you through about 8 verses and show you from the Word of God what we're talking about. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 7, and we're going to put those on the board up here for you, for those of you who cannot find them quick enough. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. You have the same thing there that we just saw in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Now we come to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 39. Leviticus. And they that are left of you shall pine away in the iniquity of your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers. In the iniquities, the sins of their fathers, shall they pine away. That word pine, that word means waste. That you will waste away. He is saying to them, not only have your fathers sinned, but you have sinned the sins of the fathers. And in my punishment and judgment of your father's sins, and you're having sinned the sins of your fathers, I'm going to, if you do that, you will waste away under the dominion of your enemies. Now we come to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18. Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity, the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. There again, the sins of the fathers. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 7. Your iniquities, your sins, and the sins of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work under their bosom. I will measure their former work. I will recompense them for the sins that they have committed. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 11 through 13. Then shall you say unto them, he's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk, every one, after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore, will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Why is he doing that? Because of the sins of the fathers. And they have sinned the same sins of their fathers. Now what he was telling them there was, he was going to allow the enemies of Israel to conquer them and subject them, subdue them, and put them into captivity because not only of the sins of the fathers, but their own sins, because they had sinned the same sins as their fathers and even added to the sins of the fathers. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger, now he's praying, Daniel is interceding, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Because of the sins of our fathers and our own sins, you have allowed us to become a reproach to everyone around us. Amos chapter 7 and verse 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by line, you shall die in a polluted land, and Israel shall go into captivity forth of his land. Why? Because the continuing of the sins of the fathers. And these are the punishments that he's bringing upon them. Now, everybody in here has to understand this. We inherit the nature of our fathers. In other words, every last one of us is born with a sin nature. I mentioned a moment ago, nobody had to teach you to lie, nobody had to teach you to cheat, and nobody had to teach you to steal. However, and moreover, we can also suffer the consequences of the sins of our fathers. You have just seen that verse after verse after verse after verse. God was punishing individuals. God was punishing the nation. Not only for the sins of the fathers, but because the children had walked in the same steps as the sins of the fathers. So not only do we come out of the womb with a sin nature, but we come out of the womb many times with weaknesses and proclivities towards certain types of sin that the fathers have sinned, in which they have given ground to Satan. I'll cover that in just a moment. Now, the consequences of the father's sins, listen up carefully, the consequences of the sins of the fathers can expose the children to sinful practices and weaknesses because the fathers have committed those sins. Now, these weaknesses can show up in the physical realm, the spiritual realm, the emotional realm, and the realm of morality. Because the sins of the fathers. Now, there's a reason for all this. And I want you to bear this in mind as I'm bringing you through this evening. Because one of the most neglected verses, which you've heard me talk about so often, is Ephesians 4:27. The Word of God says, Ephesians 4:27, give no ground to the devil. Six words. Folks, I'm telling you that most of the church does not understand the fullness of the implications of that verse. Here's what it means. Satan is a legalist. He is going to take every ounce of ground that we as individuals give him as an act of our will. Now, just think of this. Before you were saved, how much ground did you give to Satan? Before your parents were saved, how much ground did they give to Satan? And Satan has captured that ground. He holds that ground, and he does not release that ground easily. He does not give up the ground easily. So once you understand, fathers, why do you think Satan works so hard to destroy families? Why does he work so hard to bring about divorce? Why does he work so hard to rupture the families? Because in God's economy, why do you think the feminist movement, engineered in hell by Satan himself, set out to diminish the role of the father, the husband, in the family, and elevate the role of the mother, the wife, above that? This is why. Because the father, the husband, holds the rod of authority in the family. He may not exercise it, but God holds him accountable. If he does not exercise it, that's not God's fault. God has placed him in a position to be the rod of authority. In his prayer closet, he can protect. In his prayers, he can protect. In his blessings, he can speak blessings to spirit, soul, and body. God has anointed him. God has endowed him with that privilege, if you will, in the community of God, because that's the way God set it up. He created man first, and then the woman. And then he gave Adam that rod of authority. It's all the way through the Word of God. So when the fathers, I'm talking to men especially now, when the fathers, when the men fail to maintain the position in Christ that they should maintain, and so many never stop to realize, wait a minute, How much ground did I give Satan back here in my life before I was saved? Now, you thought that when you got saved and you said, Lord, forgive me for my sins, well, that covers that, doesn't it? Well, you're forgiven as a sinner. But when you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, God can say, which one? Which sin are you talking about? Are you talking about lying or cheating or stealing or drunkenness or adultery or fornication or pornography or lust or profanity? Which sin are you talking about? And you say, well, you know my sins. No. You committed your sins one at a time. And you have different categories of sin in your life. And some sins carry a greater consequence than do other sins. Some sins carry a greater penalty. As a matter of fact, you can commit some sins. A young lady can get pregnant, unmarried, and that is sin. But if she has that baby, she's still got to live the consequences of that sin. And so what happens is so many of God's people are walking around with scar tissue. Scar tissue from the sins of the past that have never been brought to the light. Now, the type and strength of the weakness or the sinful action or the stronghold. Now, what do we mean by stronghold? This is going to take about three sessions to do this whole thing, but you need to understand this. And some of you have seen me demonstrate this before. When you sin the first sin, let's call it you got drunk, all right? And then you got drunk the second time, and you got drunk the third time, and you could call this drugs or whatever you want to, but every time you sinned, that individual act of sin, you're in violation of Ephesians 4:27. And every time you committed that sin, you simply added another block of strength of Satan in your life until the point that that thing becomes a stronghold. Satan runs his flag up, puts his insignia on it, and now we have this stronghold in our life. Now, name your own poison. You can have several strongholds in your life at the same time. You can have a stronghold of addictions. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's say you have a stronghold of lust. Well, what is a stronghold of lust, and how does a stronghold of lust manifest itself? It can manifest itself in any number of ways. Adultery, pornography, pedophilia, lesbianism, sodomy, name it. You see, in a number of these sins, you take an addiction. You can have drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography addiction. The list goes on and on. So what every individual has to do is understand, wait a minute, why does the Word of God say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 3, 4, and 5, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not human, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You thought, well, I thought that was national strongholds or regional, territorial, geographical strongholds. No, it is those, but it's this as well. It's the strongholds in the individual life. And I'm telling you, as plain as I know how to tell you, that that's one reason that the church is walking in such impotence, such weakness, is you've got individual Christians coming in service after service after service, and they've got these individual strongholds in their lives, And they have been there for years. They're there today. And they're going to be there until that child of God takes the appropriate action. And I'll promise you this. You want to find a fighter in your hands? You start attacking strongholds in your life. There'll come a time in your life, if you're not careful, you think, I'm going to self-destruct. I am going to self-destruct in trying to tear down this stronghold. So, the type of stronghold and the strength of that stronghold are the weakness in your life of that particular sinful action or stronghold is going to depend many times on the type of the ground given by the fathers. Now, let me just illustrate that for a moment here, if I may. Now, you've seen me do this before, but I want to get this down so clearly. We're going to start with generation number 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then it becomes a continuum on out throughout this bloodline. This has been documented, folks. We've got studies that have studied bloodlines and found this. Now, let's say that way back here, 3 generations ago, 4 generations ago, you had somebody in your bloodline who gave ground to Satan in violation of Ephesians 4:27 on alcohol. And alcohol became an addictive in the life, an addiction in the life. Now, that addiction, I'll promise you this. You let somebody come to me with an alcoholic problem, the first question I'm going to ask them 2 questions right up front. Number 1, how long have you had it? And number 2, how long has it been in your bloodline? And invariably, here's what I'm going to find. Invariably, I'm going to find that this traces back to some generations in the bloodline. And many times they'll say to you, well, alcohol has always been in my bloodline. Alcoholism has always been in my bloodline. Now, when you take that, let's say make it an addiction of some kind, let's make it lust of some kind. I said a moment ago, lust can demonstrate, manifest itself in any number of ways. Addictive purposes, pedophilia, fornication, adultery, you name it. When you get enough of these things going on in the life, and the guy never gets saved, never renounces it, never repudiates it, never tears down the strongholds, and then he has a child. Now, the child comes in. You see, once Satan gets this, Ephesians 4:27, once he gets access into that life because of the sins of the father, the rod of authority, he now has legal right to operate in that bloodline against those who are in that bloodline. So this one comes into the world, and all of a sudden, because he has legal access to the bloodline, he starts operating, if you will, against this one, trying to bring him into. Now, this one has will, but so many times what has happened is that this one, in process of time, sees the activities, the attitudes, the actions of the father, if you will, are in the bloodline. And then because there is a weakness in that bloodline, incidentally, why do you think when you go to the doctor, he wants to know about cancer in your bloodline, diabetes in your bloodline, heart problems in your bloodline? You see, it's not only a spiritual problem, it also becomes a physiological problem because now, as a result of certain sins in the bloodline, now certain sicknesses and diseases, and this has been documented, now follow that bloodline. So now, you get one in there, and let's say it's, call it diabetes or call it whatever you want to call it, cancer, whatever you want to. Now that's in the bloodline, and it starts showing up generation after generation. So now we've got physiological problems. Now he's working overtime to introduce the same sins of the fathers, and so many times, because the fathers have failed, and the fathers have not properly covered their children in prayer, you see, this can be eliminated. If the fathers know the Word of God, if the fathers know their position in Christ, if the fathers will take the position of authority in Christ, number one, if the father will just cover his child and start covering his grandchildren, and folks, this is work. This is work. This takes time, and it's work. It's prayer. The only way you win these battles in the prayer closet. I have no arguments with AA except AA says you can make anything you want to your God. I got news for you. That tree out there is never going to release you from alcoholism. That tree will never set you free. That rock will never set you free. We've got sexual support groups. We've got support groups for this and that and the other. The only way that you're going to get free from this is Jesus Christ. You have to be born again, and then once you're born again, you've got to come to grips with the truth of what's going on in your life. So, because the fathers here gave the ground, now this generation sees the actions of the fathers, also has a built-in weakness in this area because of the sins of the fathers. You find them start developing the same sinful practices and habits. And it becomes a continuum. So now, we've now got three or four generations coming in here with some of the same tendencies, weaknesses, and sins, and the same physiological problems. I haven't pushed this real hard in this ministry. We've seen God do it. But when I ask you the question about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the Lord started dealing with me in some areas about in this line, do you really think it's possible to regain everything that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden? Once you go to the Scriptures, and this is not sensationalism, this is not manipulative, if I just go to the Scriptures and take everything the Word of God says about what is available to the child of God when they're truly born again, what He paid for on the cross, what He's willing to make available, I find out that all of this can be handled. But it's work. It's work. You see, here's what happens. The problem initiates here in this generation, but becomes compounded when the next generation commits the same sins as the fathers. And generation after generation after generation does that. They commit the same sins and add to the sins of the fathers. We just saw the Word of God say that. God said, this is why I'm punishing you. Your father sinned. You embraced their sins. You committed the same sins. And then you added to their sins. Well, you've got to ask yourself this. Wait a minute. Why do the subsequent generations commit the same identical sins as the fathers? It's in the spirit realm. Because the fathers here gave the ground,
gave legal access to that bloodline for this set of demonic powers. And now that set of demonic powers says, aha, you were the authority. You did not protect your bloodline. Now, because we gained access to you, we have access to everybody in your bloodline. And that becomes a continuum. Now, we see this time after time in the life of individuals in Scripture. We see it in the life of the nation of Israel. I'm going to list out about 13 or 14 things you may want to jot down very quickly. Otherwise, I can give you a copy of this study guide. But I'm going to tick off about 14 things right now as starters that you'll find in bloodlines. Alcoholism. Addictions, lust, perversion, sensuality, profaneness, deceit, lying, hypocrisy, uncleanness in thoughts, actions, speech, blasphemy, jealousy, pride, envy, anger, gambling, and the list goes on. But under each of those categories that I have just listed, there are different manifestations of that basic problem in a number of expressions in life. Now stop and think about what I just said. You take, for example, anger. I've told you before, anytime I find a spirit of anger, I'm going to find three that run together. I will find anger, revenge, and rebellion. Those three are going to run together. And many times because of that, you find profaneness. They run in clusters. So one gives rise to another. So once you sit down, you say, wait a moment. I'm going to examine my life in the light of Scripture. And I'm going to be honest with myself. Do I have a problem in any of these areas? Now, folks, this is the stuff you do between you and God. Just you and God alone. This is not where you come in for counseling and unless you need help and say, you know, I've got this problem, that problem. This is between you and God. Nobody will ever know about this. Now, many times we can see the manifestation of one of these areas in your life. We know it's there. But you have to be willing to go before God and admit this thing. Now, I mentioned a while ago that Satan is a legalist. He takes all the ground that you have given him. He takes all the ground that your ancestors have given him. And he holds that and uses that against you in terms of suggestions to the mind, in terms of temptation, in terms of strongholds in the life. Because with every sin that you commit, when you commit the same sin over and over, listen, I heard of some figures the other day, I forget the figures, but I was appalled. That's a strong word. I was really surprised at the numbers I heard of Christians who are hung up on pornography on the internet. Pastors who are hung up on pornography on the internet. How in the world do you walk in your pulpit when you eat up with pornography and get any anointing on you for the power of God. How in the heaven's name, you see, this is where the church is, folks. The church is eat up with this stuff, and that's why there is no power in the church. And that's why so much of the church, you know, the Word of God, as I said this morning, the Word of God says it's appointed a man once to die. I can give you a list of scriptures, but nowhere in the Word of God do I find any place where the Word of God says that you have to die diseased and sick and wasting away. From my own experience, after Mandy came, I watched my wife lose weight and lose weight and lose weight and lose weight and lose weight, and you think that's, well, that's normative when a child comes, you know, and all the efforts of the being a mother and all of that stuff. But I didn't like what I saw. And I didn't like what I sensed. And so I went to my prayer closet and I started spending time with God on behalf of my wife. And I asked the Lord point blank one day, I said, what is it? Why is my wife losing the weight that she's losing? It's falling off of her. And in my spirit, I heard the Lord say to me, it's a wasting spirit. She's pining away. And I'd never seen that in Scripture. Then I went to Scripture, and there I found it. There was a wasting spirit, a pining spirit, a spirit that caused you to waste away. I never said a word to her. But day after day after day, in my prayer closet, I was on my knees binding and breaking the power of that pining spirit, that wasting spirit that was affecting my wife's health. And I saw her quit losing weight. I saw her weight come back up. And her weight kept coming up. No, it didn't get out of bounds, don't get me wrong. But she became healthy again. I watched this thing happen, and I knew that I knew that I knew what had happened in my prayer closet. I have had to put this, folks, to the experiment. I've had to go to my prayer closet in different situations and say, I'm going to take God at His word, and I'm going to pray this specific thing. For example, did it ever occur to you that a lying person can have a lying spirit assigned to them? Word of God teaches it. I'll be a lying spirit. As you look at these things, as you come to grips with them, Satan exploits. Notice this now, as we start moving towards the conclusion on this session, then we'll take your questions. Satan is going to exploit the known weaknesses in the bloodline. I don't know how many of you may have children or grandchildren with emotional or mental or disorders of some kind. But I'll say this. I don't think any amount of medication can fix it. But I believe it can be fixed. But it's going to take the power of God. It's going to take knowing the Scriptures. It's going to take applying the Scriptures. And it's going to take work. It's labor. How does an infant become demonized? Mark chapter 9. That young, I've asked this so many times of congregation, I've never had an answer. The child can only become demonized as a result of the sins of the fathers. Because when Jesus asked the father, how long ago has this come to your child? He said, since he was an infant. Since he was patiotha. I'm telling you that the fathers have to understand that so much of what is going on in the bloodline is a result of the sins of the fathers who have not protected the bloodline from what Satan wants to do in it. Satan's a legalist. That, my friends, is why you're seeing divorce so rampant in the church? Because Satan knows if I can somehow breach this relationship, and in every, now listen, we're going to go take it a step further. I'll get into this next week, but we talk about wounds and bruises in the spirit. Every time there is a wound in the emotional realm inflicted into the life, an unclean spirit is going to attack that wound or that bruising. And that's why somebody walks into a building one day with a pistol and shoots three or four people before they can bring him down. That's why you have assault and battery so many times. That's why you have domestic violence so many times. So once you start looking, they say, wait a minute. We not only have emotional problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, all because of the sins of the fathers, and the children have committed the same sins as the fathers. And that gave Satan legal access. As a legalist, he takes all the ground given to him, but we give it to him. Satan is going to exploit every known weakness. Moreover, and some of you have experienced this, you're going to know what I'm talking about. He is not only going to exploit every known weakness, he is going to try to find new areas of weakness. He will try to introduce new areas of weakness into the bloodline, knowing, well, they got a weakness here and a weakness there. Let's try this variation of that weakness to see if it accepts that. And somehow the bloodline accepts it. So we move from alcohol addiction to drug addiction to pornography. And so now we've got a whole generation in trouble. I close with these couple of comments. If you were to go tonight to Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, you would see where Abraham went down into Egypt, and he was afraid that the Pharaoh of Egypt would take Sarah, his wife, and make her his wife, so he lied. Says, she's my sister. Remember that? Guess what his son Isaac did? His son Isaac, if you check Genesis 26, verses 1 through 16, did the same identical thing. What do we say? You find many of the weaknesses in the bloodline are the same type. What's that old thing about chip off the old block? I mean, even a secular proverb embraces the concept. Well, he's just a chip off the old block. He's just like his daddy. She's just like her mama. Her mama was mean and ugly and angry, and she's just like her mama. You see, these weaknesses, these traits of character, many times are rooted in either the spirit realm or the emotional realm and manifest themselves in the children. For new parents, let me say this to you. Praise God, I was a grown man, had scar tissue all over me, had recognized all this stuff, dealt with this stuff, was teaching this stuff when God gave us Mandy. Praise God. Why? Because, number one, she was prayed for she was prayed all the way through. She was prayed, she was blessed. Then when she was born, every night of the world, when she went to bed, went to sleep, we got a set of Alexander Scorby, the Bible on tape. And she went to sleep every night listening to the Word of God. And I think that carried up through about high school, didn't it? Junior high in there? Yeah. She would go to sleep at night listening to the Word of God on tape. But I, as her father, with legal right, legal authority, legal responsibility, was covering her from anything and everything that could ever influence her or affect her. You say, well, I didn't do that. And now mine are teenagers, or they're grown, or they're married. All right, start. Start. It's work, folks. It's work. But here's what you do. In your generation over here, you say, this is going to stop. I am going to go to war on behalf of my children and or my grandchildren, so you make it stop right here. Regardless of what's been going on in here, you now are born again, and you enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And you say to God, I want to get in your word. I'm going to know your word. I cannot win this battle in the courts. I can't win it in contest with the other person. But I can praise God, go before the throne of God, if I will submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and I am going to renounce and repudiate all the sins of my ancestors, and I'm putting up a barrier there, and Satan, you're not coming through here. And from this point on, I am now going to establish in my generation and my children's lives and my grandchildren's lives, I am going to go to war on their behalf. I'm going to take 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5 seriously. I'm going to take my position of authority in Christ Jesus. I'm going to come boldly before the throne of God, and I am going to see the works of Satan destroyed in my bloodline. It's work. And here's the interesting thing. You see, you can not only destroy through prayer the proclivity to sin in those weak areas, but you can actually tear down the strongholds that are in that bloodline that you're a part of so that you can block it and stop it. And you may have a son or a daughter with some of these strongholds in their lives or grandchildren. You could counsel them till you're blue in the face. Nothing. But you go to your prayer closet and you say before God, I'm going to come before you clean. But let's understand this. I'm here on behalf of. And it may take months. It may take years. I don't know. Depending on how fervently you're willing to go at it. How strong, but I'm saying to you, you can see victory. You see, I count my wife, my daughter worth that kind of effort. Every day of the world, very shortly after I get out of bed, I'm on my knees. And I'm protecting my wife and my daughter in prayer before the throne of God. That's why I don't want anything in my house that can open up our home to any satanic invasion. I don't want a beer commercial on my television set. I don't want a whiskey commercial. We've got TV garden. I don't allow profanity in my house on the TV. Before I'd allow profanity and the stuff they show these days and put on TV, I'd take the TV out of the house. Because you see, the Word of God says, give no ground. At any point where I give my legal consent as their covering, where I give my legal consent, Satan takes that and says, I'm going to use it against you. This is the first session. We'll probably have about 2 to 3 sessions in this, and I will show you before all this is over how to absolutely recover and recapture all the ground given and explain some biblical principles to you that you can put in application that God will honor and God will bless. Father, I've taught this particular session as far as I think you want me to take it. I'm asking you now to help your people receive it, understand it, understand that we're in a struggle. Your word says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Your word says that the enemy goes about like a raging lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your word says we're not to have any fellowship with demons. Father, I'm asking you tonight to strengthen these people and help your people here come to grips with these truths to protect their wives, their homes, their children, their grandchildren. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.